First, let's get this straight. I'm not here to bash any ethnicity, color, age, or gender. However, the whole Oscars so white controversy online and in the news surrounding the Oscars boycott has definitely caught the eyes of everyone. And I'm here just to dig a little bit deeper. This is Online with CJ Parallel on the Lancer Radio Network.
And finally, we are pleased to announce the film selected as the Best Picture nominees. They are...
Hey, Chris, I will not be at the Academy Awards and I won't be watching.
Here's the other thing, they don't care.
I have never used the word boycott.
Either we want to have segregation or integration.
But who are you going to bump out?
I'm here to talk about diversity.
According to reports, 94% of the members in the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences are white, with 77% of the members being male. So I ask you, does this reflect diversity? And are the demographics of the Academy the only problem? Joining me on this discussion in studio, I have filmmaker and director Daniel L. Ross. And on the phone, music producer and actor Dario A. Lee. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so let's get right into it. Dario, let's start with you. What are your thoughts on the subject?
I mean, just going straight into it.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm a straight, full, 100% supporter with Jada Pinkett. I definitely support Jada Pinkett and her decision of what she was saying. I think she's being taken out of context. Like, it's really, really childish of the of just really the community of how they're really how she's being taken out of context, how the whole situation is just blowing up to not exactly what she was actually saying. And she's being basically exploited. And it's okay. It's really an okay. But it's more or less like I really side with Jada because I think let's just do our own thing. Let's continue to do our own things and make our own things. Like, I mean, if you really look at it, Hollywood has their own Hollywood. And if you actually be in L.A., what's never talked about is that they have, like, the Leimert Park area, where that area over there is really like the Crenshaw Wood or the Keisha Wood, if you, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, if you want. And it's like they actually have stars in the Leimert Park area here in Los Angeles, California. And I sit there and I think about it. I think to what she was saying was just like, do anybody ever go to that area? Do anybody go to the neighborhood, to our neighborhood, and basically go out there in the community and go actually see what is our history? Instead of coming to Hollywood sometimes, like, what is our history? And it's not a diss on Hollywood, and it's not a diss or a crybaby. That's why I was kind of upset what Ice Cube said. But I was preparing for this interview, I mean, this discussion, and I hear Ice Cube just throw us way under the bus, and I was just like, wow, man, like, so, do you know Jada?
So what did Ice Cube said? Let the audience know.
I mean, what he was saying was that he was basically in an interview, and he was basically just laughing the situation off about, like, for basically what Jada Pinkett said, and everybody just kind of like looking to be, what's the word?
Contrary.
Yeah. They just real contrary to everything that she says. Like a no-nonsense type of person. Everybody wants to be a no-nonsense type of person. And I think, like, nah, y'all need to really, like, pipe down with this fake, like, every time it's okay to be no-nonsense and to just, like, oh, well, come on, you're complaining, and oh, come on. Like, no, you're not even listening to what this person is actually saying. And I'm tired of this, like, in this white culture, this day in white culture, they forever, you know what I mean?
Go ahead.
Well, I don't know. I can't really ride with that, because asking the question just in general, why is the Oscars so white, is like saying why is the sky blue to me, because when has it been anything other than that? And so, like, why is everybody reacting like this is a brand new thing? Like, this is the first time this has ever happened. I just think it's, like, misguided. And while I understand what she's saying, I think a lot of people, where the problem comes from, is that because her and her husband have had plenty of opportunity to make a difference in their eyes. Now, whether that's true or not, you know, I don't know. I know looking at the history of their Overbrook and you know, their slate, you know, not there hasn't been so much opportunity passed along. You know what I mean? They're not playing it forward. So there's a lot of backlash from that. You know, that's where that's coming from. It's like, you don't really get a chance to say that. You don't get to say to actors, don't go and do whatever it is that your goal is. You want to be up there one day with your Oscar. So people are pretty much like not having that.
So you guys don't consider that. Let's go back to Ice Cube. So you don't consider him to be taking the high road, Daryl?
I see where what he was doing is, I don't consider, see, they got a thing they call like called a, let me go back. What's that called? Le Jordan. Have you ever heard of Le Jordan before? It's a rental property in LA. And they call that, they host different events for the creme of la creme. The creme de la creme.
Yeah.
And I know it's like, well, what's that have anything to do with what we're talking about? And it kind of makes me think of the whole situation is that when they host these events for the creme of de la creme, do you just mean white folks? That's what it's for. So is that considered the high road? Is this, that's considered the high, the pedestal? I don't believe really in pedestals, putting a person on a pedestal and then that life, a pedestal life and everything like that. That's just your, that's just actually your Hollywood and what happens in your Hollywood. And I think, like, I understand Ice Cube. I mean, me not being from LA, I wouldn't want to step on, you see what I'm saying, be disrespectful to anybody in LA, yet I want to keep it real. I want to say, like, Ice Cube, like, for real, like, as a man, I mean, as like, just straight up looking at Cube, like, from his growth and everything like that, I mean, you, like, we actually appreciate, as a community, we appreciate it more than these folks that's going out, that you're going out there to maintain, like. But what I'm saying is like, you know, like Straight Outta Compton. Okay, now you know, but like Straight Outta Compton, it's like he's like doubting himself. You know what I'm saying? Like what Jada was talking about. Well, let's go ahead and make our own thing. Let's go ahead and go about it. And I really thought what Snoop did was like the smartest thing ever. Like, I mean, it was like Snoop was the first time I seen Snoop kind of step up and was like, yeah, that's, I'm with you. I'm rocking with you like that. And I would have thought that with Ice Cube out of anybody, I wouldn't have seen Ice Cube kind of like shy off the situation of starting your own, especially when he started, he left with Eazy-E and he did his own thing. And it's like some type of karma type situation going on. When I would have figured that Ice Cube out of anybody would have been like, okay, well, yeah, let's be about that. Let's all come together and let's do that. And when it comes to us and our colors, it's like everybody wants to say we can't work together. We can't this and we can't. That's not true. That's not true at all. That's called self-doubt. That's called doubting yourself and having no self and having no, you don't even care nothing about your color and who you are. And it's not about, I heard what she was saying,
let's listen to some of the things these people said. So here's Ice Cube right now.
You know, the thing about it is that does not define us or, mm-hmm. You know, that award is cool. You know, it's cool to be recognized, but people recognize this movie back in August when it did $200 million at the box office. Hey. So people love this movie. You know, people can see this movie over and over again, and that's the measure of a great movie. You know, not, you know, a statue is dope. You know, we done went up there and clowned and had fun, but for the most part, you know, this movie won an Oscar a long time ago.
So, Danielle, what's your opinion on that what he said right there?
I agree with him 100%.
I agree with him also. Definitely agree with him.
I mean, listen. If we're going to just be real as far as what the Oscar, you know, the Academy Awards recognize, right? It's not the typical films that everybody goes and sees anyway. So from a broader perspective in the industry, it's not reflective of what you've seen over the years. So you're talking about a block between, it's something that maybe stood out way, you know, something that was really phenomenal, or you're talking about a film that happened in the last 4 months that most of the time people don't see. I went to go and rush and see The Revenant, but how many people went to go see that?
I did.
I know you did. But I'm saying, like, who went to see Room? Who went to go see Spotlight? Who went to go who went to go see Brooklyn? Ain't nobody running out to go see, you know, Brooklyn. But I'm just saying, if you're just going to look at it from a whole, of course they're going to represent a small faction of films, because it's typically a type of film. It's an, you know, more of a upper.
When you say type, what are you describing? The look and the feel, or just?
No, I'm talking about a like more dramatic.
Dramatic.
You know, we're talking dramatic. We're talking more independent, more highbrow, quote unquote.
Yeah.
So we're not looking at the whole scope of film anyway. We're not even talking about mainstream films. We're not even talking about blockbusters, Jurassic Park. You know, we're not talking about any of those films that might have made a difference to us, like, oh, that was good. Sicario, you know, they got recognized for what? Best score?
Yeah.
Like, what? I love that movie. I thought it was dope.
But I'm into that best score original music thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I did a whole show on that a couple years ago. But let's take a listen, since we've been talking about Jada Pinkett and she kind of just ignited this flame for everything, this whole discussion. So here's Jada talking about responsibility.
The Academy has the right to acknowledge whomever they choose, to invite whomever they choose. And now I think that is our responsibility now to make the change.
So to me, it sounds like she's trying, in that little short clip, I know her whole little speech is a little longer, but she's trying to empower the black people or minorities. I don't just want to say black people, but minorities. And Dario, you think?
Actually, I was going to ask, that's the next thing I was going to say. Right what you just said, CJ, like, I was actually going to say, when I heard Jada speak, when I first heard that, that's exactly what I got from her. I didn't really look at it like she was actually trying. I'm gonna tell you what she done. She actually was. She reminded, I've seen what I heard was Nelson Mandela. What I heard was our folks. Like, that's who we are. Like, we actually are stolen generation anyway. So as us being stolen land, stolen individuals, we used to run wild as it is. So as us running wild don't mean that we're stupid, we're ignorant, we're dumb. And I think that English concept in America is getting too much adopted and not showing who we actually are and how much potentials that we actually have that's not even being shown and is getting thrown under the radar. And that's why I agree with her like, I'm totally sold. If it's a gang, jump me in, because that's what I'm all about. I'm back.
So wait a minute, you said we was running wild. Who was running wild and where?
I'm saying as us, as a human beings, as us, as Africans, as us and Africans in America.
I don't know about that statement, but okay.
Some folks don't believe that. I mean, right. Some folks don't consider themselves to be African. Well, I consider myself to be African.
No, I'm trying to figure out the running wild part, but I don't want to get off. I don't want to get off topic.
That's for another day.
I'm like, what?
I'm talking about basically in Africa, we're being stolen. We've been stolen from our country. We were used to running wild in our country. We come to a different country in America, and it's been Englishized is what I'm saying. That's what I meant by that.
You know what? So you're talking about what Snoop said. So let's listen to what Snoop said, because he does have Jada's back, all right?
I'm with you, baby girl. I may not say it as nice or as classy as you, but I'm on the same page as you. They steal all our culture, steal all our slang, steal all our everything. And then they make it cool, and then we can't get no acknowledgement for what we do as far as being originators and creators to this entertainment world, so to speak.
So, Danielle, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. That's what I said. I definitely agree with Snoop on that. When I heard Snoop say that, I was just like, dang. Like, I would have thought, I mean, that was just the greatest thing I heard Snoop. I mean, I haven't really seen that side of Snoop like that, and I was like, dang, well, that's what's up right there. That was just like the...
So that's what you mean by...
That was icing for me.
So
that was what's up for me.
So that's what you mean by, like, running wild that type of, but more them stealing from us or taking from us or using us. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, like we got a child, like us as Africans, like some folks don't consider themselves to be African when they are African. So I'm saying, like, we in America, and since we are in America, we do have a legacy and we do have a history, and our history is not Hollywood.
I don't want to, like I said in the beginning, I don't want to make it about ethnicity or whatever. This is just about minorities, Hollywood, okay. Diversity in Hollywood. So Danielle, what's your thoughts on what Snoop was talking about?
I think for what Snoop was talking about, I get it. Listen, but I think those are not us, like, talking about apples and moons. We're not talking about the same thing. If we want to talk about parallels, we have to talk about the movies that aren't getting recognized.
Yes.
On the same level. What they do to our culture is a totally different subject from what's happening right now in recognition for the Oscars. I'm of the mind that the Oscars and people who have won of color, it has not improved but harmed their careers. And so I don't see it as a huge benefit anyway. Whether you're talking about Denzel Washington, who was already an A-lister, Halle Berry, who was already an A-lister.
What does A-lister mean, by the way? If you're black. You see what I'm saying?
Well, there you go.
Does that mean... I'm just going to throw this out there.
No, that's what it means. I know,
but, but A-lister, if you're black, are they on the same level as any other actor that would normally get a leading role?
Excellent question.
And I'm asking you, Danielle, and in that scenario, does the A-lister outrank their ethnicity?
Yes, and that's funny you asked that because I was watching Flight today. It was on television. It's been playing. And if you look at the movie, which actually I enjoyed, it came out a couple of years ago with Denzel Washington. He's the only black person in it outside of Don Cheadle. And that's
another problem right there, but go ahead.
So,
because when I go to the airport, ain't nothing but black people.
You know, right?
Or minorities.
So I think, you know, those are people who have been able to surpass their color or whatever and be bankable. That's what A-lister means, period. So whether it's me looking when I'm casting and I'm looking for an A-lister, that means who's going to put butts in the seat and who's going to sell that movie. That's it, point blank. It doesn't matter what color they are. I think that's the only place that color gets surpassed. So you talk about Will Smith. Well, it used to be Will Smith. I think he kind of messed himself up, but that's not my business. Will Smith, we're talking Denzel Washington. Help me out, because I'm running out of people.
And that's the problem. It ain't that
running
many.
Running out of people. Okay. Halle Berry, she ran out. I don't know. Like, she's, like, you know, they're A-lister. All, like, geriatric. Now, I don't know.
You mean just consistently, because there are some black men, and I'm saying men mostly.
Yeah.
Because
Forrest Whitaker, I guess he could be.
Yeah, but it's like here and there. It's not like consistently they're going to get the leading roles.
He's not going to, and he's not, yeah, so... That's tough, but that when I think A-list, you know, of course I think of the Brad Pitts, the Tom, what's his name, Tom Hardy, Leo DiCaprio.
Why do you think of them as A-listers? Just because we've seen them on all these movies that
no, I think of them as A-listers. Simply for the fact that how much money they bring into the business. Now, remember, I'm a producer.
Yeah.
I'm a filmmaker. So I'm only looking at it from the business point of view. I could sit here and talk about for hours and hours what's going on with the color side of things and, you know, that whole deal.
Oh, we're
going
to get into the business. Don't worry. that's my main focus.
Strictly, I mean, it's strictly appeal, audience appeal, general audience appeal. And that's all it is. So.
All right, so let's go ahead and move forward to this whole boycott thing. And this is what Spike Lee had to say.
Here's the thing. I have never used the word boycott. All I said was my wife, my beautiful wife, Tanya, we're not coming. That's it. Then I gave the reason. So I've never used the word boycott. I never have said to anybody, it's like, do you.
We're not coming. Not going.
Now, Dario, do you, or I'll start with Danielle this time. Do you think there should be a boycott of minorities at the Oscars?
I think it's absolutely ridiculous. And I'm with Spike Lee. I'm never with Spike Lee, number one. But
what?
Nah.
You wasn't with Chirac?
Nah. Hell no, I wasn't with Chirac. But that, listen, I can't with a Spike. No, I don't think Jada said anything about boycott. Neither did Spike Lee. I think that's the media putting that, the statements that people are coming out and making. They're putting words into people's mouth.
Now, Jada did say she's not going.
Right. That's not a
but
boycott.
But she just announced that to Chris. Here it is, just at the end of her statement.
Hey, Chris, I will not be at the Academy Awards and I won't be watching.
Does that mean she's boycotting? Or
no.
Does that mean she's like, I don't have reason to watch it?
Then where did this word boycott?
I just told you. They just made it up.
Now, that's, when we're saying they're lying, who is they?
Just, you know, the superfluous they, the media.
And Dario, any comment on this? Like, are you against it?
I ain't never really looked at the Oscars anyway.
Thank you.
I never really thought about it anyway in the first place. But, like, I mean, I actually agree with her. Like, I don't mess with Spike Lee, especially off of the Chirac situation, because I'm from Indianapolis. I'm from the Midwest. So for what he depicted in Chirac was not Chicago. And even though it's a satire, I understand it's a satire and everything like that. But it's like, you did a well job. You researched Brooklyn and you did your research then. But I think it was just, I mean, like, honestly, this boycott, basically, to answer the question, honestly, no, I don't know what the far as, I think he's probably saying it from a point of view of, and I agree with it, I think that's the media that did that. I think that's possibly like a media situation
Now we're speaking on media. Now, you know, media includes everyone. So now when we say they, when anyone says they, it means us.
Okay, I'm going to play the bad guy over here.
Okay.
I don't mind. So when I say the media and when I'm talking about, when you want to divert attention away from what's really going on and you say, hey, oh, here they go again, you know, Black Lives Matter, you know, and
hashtag.
Yeah, exactly. Hashtag. That's what they're saying. So they've translated what has been somebody taking a stand and called it a boycott, knowing that if you say it in those terms, and I will say where I saw it was from the Hollywood Reporter. So, people speak out on the boycott of the Oscars. Like, what? Who's organizing this boycott? Like, who said that?
So I'm glad you brought this up, because I don't think Aunt Viv, so Jeanette.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Hubert, right? To me, I think that's where most of the momentum came from, because she, whatever resentment she has deep inside, like, let's just play this clip. I have another clip of what she was talking about.
Just because the world don't go the way you want it to go, doesn't mean that you can go out and then you start asking people to stand up and sing, "We Shall Overcome" for you. You ain't Barack and Michelle Obama.
She was on one.
And y'all need to get over yourselves. You have a huge production company that you only produce your friends, your family, and yourself. So you are a part of Hollywood. You are a part of the system that is unfair.
Dario, what do you think?
I disagree. Like I said, I'm 1,000,000,000% against her, because she was disrespectful, first of all, the way she came across. Because somebody, I believe, like, Jada and Will, they got some type of relationship. But like you said, she has some type of resentment. And I don't know what happened. I believe that she did seem like a, like on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, she was fighting for something. And at the time, she probably wasn't being heard. And when she wasn't being heard, like, individuals would take advantage of that. And it don't have to be, that could be any color. And in like per se. So folks could take advantage of situations and not hear a person out. And when you not hear that person out and take it as the seriousness, then it turns to hurtfulness and neglection. And I believe this, like, she has, like you said, she has some neglection, some abandonment issues right now, with something that she probably tried to push at a point in time. But like, I mean, well, I still support Jada. I don't care what time she does it or when, whether it's today or tomorrow or when does she decide it. I just think, like, the issue is that it's about support your own.
Dario.
Put your own out there.
Can I ask you a question? Okay. Dario.
Yes.
Just because somebody is hurt about something, does that mean that they don't have an opinion or their opinion isn't valid? You know, I can tell you firsthand.
That's not what I said.
No, I'm just asking.
She has some abandonment. She has some neglection issues, and since she has her neglection issues, does not make them non-valid. Is what I said.
Okay, I missed the part.
So yeah, so if it does not make it non-valid, that's why I think individuals need to really listen again and really find out what the next person is actually saying. They're fighting for them. And the person that's fighting for him is Jada. Jada fighting for an individual to say, hey, we're doing this for you. Don't you see this? This is for you.
Where did you get that? Where did you hear that? How did you, no, what, where did you
that's
translate
how I,
that?
That's
from?
How I take, like, that's how okay. I don't really see Jada. What I got from it was
Jada was that she was trying to unite. Of course she was mad and angry about her husband didn't get nominated.
I don't think that. I don't believe she was angry about that. I heard Straight Outta Compton. I heard Beast of No Nation. I heard Concussion, which I still haven't seen that. I went to see that and I didn't get to see it when I went to go try to see it the other day, and it wasn't there at the movie theaters anymore. So I went to go try to see it and it wasn't even there. And I mean, I don't even think she was speaking from that. I didn't see it as that. That's not what I got. That's not the take that I got.
Well,
I think nobody even cares, really.
Let me play her comment again, because she did, in this comment, she did drop some knowledge that, I mean, I was aware of, but I paid extra attention to it once she said it again.
Just because the world don't go the way you want it to go, doesn't mean that you can go out and then you start asking people to stand up and sing, "We Shall Overcome" for you. You ain't Barack and Michelle Obama. And y'all need to get over yourselves. You have a huge production company that you only produce your friends, your family, and yourself.
See, that's the hurt.
So you are a part of Hollywood. You are that's a part not of the hurt. System that is unfair.
So that last part, let me play it one more time right here. Or I can just say it. You are a part of Hollywood. So that's going to act as a transition for us to bring it into the business side. Because they do have a production company. They could employ diverse people. They have money. Like you were saying earlier, Will is an A-lister. He has pull in Hollywood. And his proof is in the pudding. Why are we talking about this? Why is everybody talking about
it?
Because Will and Jada got pull in Hollywood. They're one of the few black people. So what are your thoughts, business-wise?
Like, business-wise.
What are the problems
and that's
in
what I'm
Hollywood?
Talking about business. That's all I'm talking about. I'm talking about Ice Cube. I thought that's why I was so like distraught because of Ice Cube. I'm like, Ice Cube, man, like, what are you talking about, man? Don't you know who you are, man, right now? Like, you are another, like, to me, I consider Ice Cube an A-lister to me. I mean, to myself, I never was taught to hate on the person first.
All right,
that's
so Dario,
let's
focus. Yeah. Let's not focus on Ice Cube or the celebrities right now. Let's focus on actually your experience, all right, and Danielle's experience. So Danielle, your experience working in Hollywood, what is some of the problems in the business of Hollywood?
The biggest problem that I found coming up was as a filmmaker. Was that people aren't willing to reach back and tell you, hey, I messed up here. This is how you need to go forward. I work
now. When you say people of
filmmakers,
color,
other people, other filmmakers
just
who made it
of any color. Okay,
of black filmmakers.
Okay,
only mentorship that I've ever received was from white filmmakers that I've worked for, and as a matter of fact, I used to work at Universal. When we were doing the Oscars back in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And our production company was right down the hill from Overbrook. And at that time, Overbrook was just starting and they hadn't really produced a whole lot of content. And everybody was super excited about, oh, Will Smith got his own production company. You know, it's been brewing for a long time. Everybody thought they was about to work. You know what I'm saying? We about to see some content. And unfortunately, that's not how it happened. That's not what it turned out.
Your last name need to be Smith for that to happen.
You know, and it was disappointing. Not that I don't enjoy the movies. I love the movies that they've put out, but I do feel like they could have done a lot more. And I feel like a lot of the filmmakers could have done a lot more, all of them, because they all sat there and was like, hey, you know, good luck. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, wow. Okay. So for me, now that I've done several films, I make it my point. I make it my mission to say, hey, look, this is where I messed up. If you want to go this way, go this way. Don't try and do this. And that's what I want to give back, because I didn't have it.
And Dario, you about your experience, because I know you're doing some acting and things like that. Your experience working with the film industry.
It's just been grateful. That's all I can say.
Tell us how you got into it. How you got into it? Because you're not from California, so
yeah,
you're a visitor.
Yeah, my whole goal wasn't even like to really kind of like I'm not a filmmaker. I'm not in the industry per se or nothing like that. I don't really rock with a lot of folks like that, and I'm glad I don't rock with a lot of folks. I just do my own thing, and the reason why is because like I was charged with a crime I didn't commit. I'm really focused in the streets and what's going on with other individuals who are being ignored, and really talking to these individuals and finding out what's going on with the case and taking it in all seriousness so that these individuals can be shed a light on these individuals, because a lot of pain and a lot of actual real hurt has been happening to them. And I mean, as well as myself. So I was able to leave my home, which my comfort zone, and leave my comfort zone and then actually step out into a place. And so a lot of folks don't leave their comfort zone. They assume and make asses out of themselves.
So you say you have no real struggle.
No, as I have getting nothing in, but struggle.
But I mean, I'm talking about getting into. So let's keep it right in the movie industry. So getting into those acting gigs and getting on set. What was the process like? What's the process? What's the system? Thing. The business
same
of Hollywood.
Thing. Yeah, same thing. My first project I did was because I played basketball growing up, so I ended up doing something for the NBA and for the All-Star game, and then I did the NBA, and then from there it took off to go into the Buick Human Highlight commercial, shooting a national commercial.
So you're just auditioning?
NCAA.
Is that what's going on? You're just auditioning for these?
The roles that you have gotten.
Were they typical black man roles where you're the athlete or you're like the drug dealer or whatever? Are you getting diverse roles?
Yes, I got diverse roles. Yes, sir. I mean, a couple of points, like I had a couple of ones, like if somebody wanted me to do something where it's like, thug in the hood or something like that. Sometimes I don't take those roles like that. I don't take that all the time. I had most of them been really just like I did purchase drug and like a John Singleton thing.
And
I was like
now for the productions that you're in, are they primarily black films, black movies, black productions? Or
No.
I've done all.
Yes, I've done all. I've worked with Carl. His name is Carl. I can never get his name.
You know why I'm kind of like just focusing on this? Because it's interesting to me, because you do agree with Jada, but your experiences in the industry haven't been what she's talking about. So like,
No, they have.
Now,
what I'm saying
is, so if they have, explain how. Because so far you said you've been fine. You've been working with all demographics. You have no problem. So the industry is working for you. So let us know how to get working for everybody else.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I actually took myself out of it, but I actually was booked for Straight Outta Compton. I just didn't make it to the shoot. So I was supposed to be in a part with Tupac, and then I was in the actual studio. I just didn't make the shoot. I have I couldn't make the shoot and everything like that. That was just one shoot. And like I said, I did the John Singleton film. I work with, I mean, tons of different, like, African directors. And then also I work with also Caucasian directors. I don't discriminate as it is as a, like, a human being. I'm not a
racist. It's not about you discriminating. What we're talking about is Hollywood, meaning the people on top discriminating against people like you. Danielle, have you experienced any of that discrimination or just people making it hard for you to move up?
No. I started out early on working at the studio level. You know, very early in my career, I wanted to, you know, be a director and a filmmaker. I was on Mother Love show one day and she asked me,
I think I worked with her once.
She's a sweetheart. I love her. She was like, honey, what made you want to be a filmmaker, being a woman and all, and you know, considering there aren't any? I was like, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to want to. I didn't know. I didn't realize.
Ignorance.
Exactly.
Is bliss, right?
You know, but you don't think about those things. You don't think about the hurdles. You just think about the love. And I've always loved movies. So I started out working in Michael Bay's production company. Had an interview to work with. Who's the crazy guy? Gosh, what's his name? Anyway, horror film guy, but he used to be the rock star. Can't remember his name right now. Worked at Disney, worked at every single studio, and it wasn't until I was like, you know what? This is not going to get me any closer to directing the kind of movies that I want to get to. It was, you know, it's very hierarchical in working in big budget movies. So as far as discrimination, yes, it's more of a class structure as opposed to being discriminatory.
When you say structure, class, it really has nothing to do with race, but like what position you're in?
Absolutely. So, it has everything to do with pay grade. It's like the military. So like you don't get to talk to me or be in my area if you only are below the line. Okay, you don't talk to us. So that's just how it is from my point of view. So at the time, I was working with, I interned at Disney for, 4 years. And then I worked there after I left. And the producer, I told her I wanted to go to NYU film school. And she was like, and I told her I can't afford it. I can't go to film school. So she was like, well, do you feel like you can make a film? I said, yes. So she was like, well, why don't you take whatever your tuition would be that first year of school and make a movie? And I was like, you could do that? Yes, I can do that. And that's what I did. I started making independent films. So really my career has primarily from the beginning been independent films all the way. And I always thought my mission and my naivete was that I would start making movies and somebody would see, wow, look at how wonderful they could do it with nothing. They're going to give me millions of dollars to do it. You know, that's not how it works. So that's what I'm talking about as far as the business is concerned. There's no, you know, teaching or grooming or fellowship. You know, it's not like that.
So Spike Lee mentioned something about like, a misdirection. I wanted to play that clip for you.
This whole Academy thing is a misdirection play.
Okay, how?
We're chasing the guy down the field. He doesn't have the ball. The other guy is high-stepping the end zone. So it goes further than the Academy Awards. It has to go back to the gatekeepers.
Studios.
Yes, the people who have the green light vote.
Absolutely.
Who are those people? Is that the Academy? Is that... Like, no one knows really who's in the Academy, but... Who are those people, Dario?
Who's in the
gatekeepers? Like, have you met some of these people?
I mean, I didn't really defend it. I was gonna really say, I work with Ava DuVernay, and like, I mean, she did pretty well for herself. And I mean, I don't know who these gatekeepers he's talking about. So I don't know what he's talking about. Like, honestly, Like, I think,
and that might be going to the class, right? Because he's pretty much at the top, right?
So yeah. Not really.
Not really, but
he ain't at the top of nothing.
He knows who is, though.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Danielle, what?
Oh yeah.
He does, and listen, I was just in a pitch meeting at Fox with my writers group the other day, last Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing, I won't say the first thing, but the
you
burning.
You might get that role now, shoot.
I know,
with all this controversy.
I know, no, I was like, hey, like, you know.
Go ahead,
man?
Jada. Look. Then she'll have Jada's back, Daniel. Then she'll be like, I agree with Jada.
Jada's back. No, I totally understand. I think it's all misguided. And like, let me not.
Yeah, go back.
So it's on everybody's minds. The people in the green light position. We're talking about studio executives, heads of studio. We were in a meeting with the VP of development.
Is your development group a mixture of ethnicities?
No, our writers group is all black.
Okay.
It is pretty mixed, black, female and male.
So do you feel you're at a disadvantage going in?
I think we're at an advantage.
Advantage, okay.
At this point. Yes. So, I hope to capitalize on that advantage because, you know, we talked to him about it and we were very transparent in saying, we're just writers. We're not black writers. We're just writers. Mm-hmm. And if you want to hear different voices, then you have to hear a different kind of thing. So he's been very open. This is our second meeting with him, but he has been, like I said, it's always been, you know, the white executives or, you know, filmmakers that have been more than willing to give all the information that you can hardly pry out of black filmmakers. It's almost like, and not to down my folks, but in my experience, it's always been, I don't want to pass on any knowledge, like, good luck. You know what I'm saying? You get there how you get there because you're my competition. And that's pretty sad. I think that's the part where I agree with Jada. I agree with all of them because Aunt Viv had a point. Like, look, there's more pressing issues than this. You know, Ice Cube is like, I don't really care what you're talking about. I feel the same way. Jada's like, you know what? I ain't watching that. Me neither. Spike Lee is like, you know, we are not paying attention to the ball. Exactly. So they all have valid points. And that's the thing. We have to allow people to be complex and have different points of view. But let's keep our eye on the prize. What's the point? The point is, let's all try and make some money. Ain't nobody who won an Oscar in a better position, in my opinion, that's black. Mm-hmm. As far as black actor, we ain't never had a black director win an Oscar, so it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Producer, what was the guy, Reggie Hudlin? He's producing the Oscars now, but didn't he win a couple years back?
I don't know all the facts. You're trying to put me on the spot.
Yeah, listen. I don't even watch Oscars. It's your show.
Let me get my computer out real quick.
Honestly, like...
Where's
like
my assistant?
It's like, I really can care less about, like, far as, like, getting into the Oscars or, like, somebody from the Oscars, like, somebody our color winning in the Oscars or anything like that. I think that's, like, really... irrelevant because
it does seem to be a problem, like, though, because you have a lot of people who are passionate about it. Take for instance Whoopi Goldberg, like on The View, she was just hysterical and just yelling at her other black co-hosts and white. She's just yelling at everybody because it's I don't know if it's more of like a
But you know what?
I don't know if it's more of
one second.
I don't know if it's more of a age difference. You know, whether it's opinion, like how, like you were talking about, you weren't even thinking in that mindset of like, is it going to be a disadvantage for me to get in here? You're just like, oh, can I?
I want to be a filmmaker. Touch buttons
and does that go back to what you were saying about no one really reached out and kind of showed you and let you know what's really going on? You know, so you all that naivete, is that what you say? It's actually not a bad thing because you don't have all that oppression.
Exactly.
You don't have that history of disappointment. And I think that's what happens with black people anyway, because we know our history and it's just all disappointment. Whether you have your parents, grandparents, just you can't. It's always mm-hmm. growing up. I know when I was growing up, you can't do that. You know, no, everything's no, because, and it's like why, and Whoopi, she addressed this problem and very passionate about it.
I make movies for a living. Let me tell you what the problem is. It's not that the people nominating are too white. They're not looking at a movie and saying, oh, that's very white. I'm not going to nominate that black movie. They're not sitting there like that. What's the problem is the people who can be helping to make movies that have blacks and Latinos and women and all that, that money doesn't come to you because the idea is that there's no place for black movies.
And that goes kind of back to Will Smith and Jada, Daryl. Talking about the people who have the ability to make the money, to make the movies, production companies. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
You sleep?
I'm still here. No, I actually
need some coffee.
No, I'm still sitting here saying like, that's one thing about me is that, see, the thing is that I may not be in the industry and things like that, but I mean, like in the industry for say, like
you're in the industry.
Other folks have. No, I'm saying how other folks are in the industry. But the thing is that I have a history before this Hollywood thing. And that's what I'm saying. I know I have friends that are millionaires, friends that are billionaires, like literally. And for anything that happens for them, I still tip my hat off for them because it's happening for them and their movement and what's actually happening for them. But I mean, I still say that like I was saying is Romanio, Malcolm was saying on the Breakfast Club, like the KKK, the KKK, like, you know, like, it's not like we like asking the KKK, can we join the KKK? You sitting saying like.
Now, some people kind of compare.
Like,
compare. But some people, you know, they're kind of comparing, you know, the Hollywood people that make all the decisions to that. Now, not necessarily saying they are the KKK, but just the mindset of like oppressing people.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No,
or preventing people.
I want to.
I'm from the home of the Ku Klux Klan. I'm from the home of the Ku Klux Klan.
You know they're everywhere, right?
I know that. But I know. I'm from where they originate. Yeah. You know, what
Indiana.
I'm,
huh?
I see it in all little crevices. They creep in a little crevice. And you're exactly correct. They are in behind the scenes. And it looked like my situation that I went through that you know about, CJ. Like, hey, I was charged for the crime. Like, y'all seen Ku Klux Klan situation? I could just look. Oh yeah, I know what that is already. I don't have to really study that. I already know what that is. Okay, yeah, this. Okay, we already know what this is. We know what that is. Okay, yada yada yada. Now what else? The whole point is that forget all the rest of the stuff that they're talking about, and let's just focus on what we're doing. What we're doing. And if Jada Pinkett and Will Smith is the one that has the money in their pocket, that's not my money. That's their actual money.
Yeah.
Yet. For them having that money and them having that's just them coming into us creating our own culture. That means that that's great. That's a part of our culture. That means that's one person that's one family that's a part of our culture that did their thing. And I think it's Caucasian culture don't want. And I apologize. Keep using color because I'm not saying color. I'm saying like I believe that this Hollywood wants us to create our own. I don't think that the Hollywood is just like this whole insidious thing all the time. I just think it's just Hollywood is saying, hey, create your own. But then there's also another side that's like, hey, I want to make it in that. And ain't nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with having dreams and goals and ambitions and everything. And you should go after your dream and you should go after your goals and your precision. But know your goals and know your dreams and know what you're going after. You see what I'm saying? Because when you find out what that is, you see what I'm saying? Like what Spike Lee was talking about. Then you find out, okay, now do I really want that now? No, you don't really want that. Once you find out that we already got that, that's who we actually are. So, I mean, that's what I was saying. Is that's how I kind of agree. Like I said, I'm full with Jada. And I'm full with Ice Cube, too, because Ice Cube is that person, too. No matter whatever he's experiencing, I really do side with like our folks, like really making it and making lifting uplifting our communities and building our communities up to be a place for other cultures and other ethnicities to come to our neighborhoods and have our own Keisha Wood or Crenshaw Wood or however you want to have it and come experience our culture. I mean, our Rosa Parks from everything. You see what I'm saying? Like, I mean,
yeah. Now, Danielle,
yeah, that's all really about.
I got you. And, and Danielle, you wanted to say something?
I did. I just want to say, for people who want to I mean, filmmakers coming up, if they're listening, check out, there's a documentary called The Last Mogul, and it's about Lee Wasserman. And you can get it on Netflix. I watched it several times. You want to see what Hollywood is all about, who the A-listers are, how this system got started, and what it is today. And this is the, that has laid the foundation for the business as it is. Just know that from my point of view, it's all about money. And so what Hollywood doesn't want to happen is the same thing that happened to the record industry, which is black culture is very pervasive in every single genre of music. It's almost getting to that point now with, you know, Kevin Hart and different, the appeal of other actors who are probably a little bit more influential than these A-listers. You know, you got YouTube stars that are more influential than other people. So pay attention to what's really going on and follow the money, and you'll really see where the problems lie.
Now, way overseas in Europe, Idris Elba, who also was predicted by some to possibly be a nominee and win the Oscar for his role. And he had a couple of statements about, not necessarily this, but I think he was at an event that was already scheduled before Jada did her thing to talk about diversity. And this is what he had to say.
I'm really not here to speak about just black people on TV. I'm not here to do that. I'm here to talk about diversity, okay? Diversity in the modern world is more than just a skin color. It's a gender, age, disability, sexual orientation, social background, and most importantly, in my opinion, it's diversity of thought.
And that little last statement that he said, diversity of thought, oh, that like bells were ringing in my head, because like my main goal when I'm putting on any kind of production, music, film, TV, whatever, is to have diversity throughout the production, behind the scenes, in front of the camera, everywhere, performing everything. And it doesn't seem like, obviously, that's not happening. We don't have enough people with that mindset. Old Hollywood, new Hollywood, I don't know, but
yeah,
like some people laugh at me when I tell them I would never have an all black anything. Right? So you can take that any way you want, but to me, I didn't grow up that way, right? I grew up in San Gabriel Valley, right here, Pasadena, Arcadia, Monrovia, and it's just mixed.
That's funny you say that, because I don't, it just like you said about me being naive, I didn't ever think about having an all-black nothing. Sometimes an all-black crew shows up. And guess what? We could get the job done just as well as any. I think like whoever can do it and whoever's capable, then let's just do it. That's the freedom of thought that I'm thinking of. Like, let's not box ourselves in. If the whole crew is all women, which sometimes that's what it is on my projects, it's not intentional. People have to bring it to our attention, and we're like, oh, well, that's just her. She's the producer, and she's the camera person. We're not thinking about it like that.
Well, but that's the good thing about what he was talking about, diversity of thought. My interpretation of it is different than yours, and yours is different than mine. But it's still, both of ours is diversity of thought.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And it worked for everyone. It's just, to me, it's just like Hollywood, my impression. And I've been in the industry working radio. It could be film, TV, radio. It's all the same. Everybody who's at the top is white. Everybody who's not is at the bottom, or they don't have a job, or they're trying to get in, or whatever. But I lost my train of thought, but my diversity of thought, the reason why I want that is because I've worked at the black radio station, the white radio station. There's no in between. It's just all this or all that. And I don't think it's I don't think it's on purpose. I think Hollywood works by networking, who you know, right? And if you hang around majority white people, you're going to know what they're good at. And if you got millions of dollars or thousands of dollars on a production, you're not going to say, okay, I'll pick up this guy who I don't know because he's of an ethnicity. You're going to go. So to me, how do we get to the point where people are comfortable engaging with each other outside of the work industry, you know, where they're forced to, where we're just living amongst ourselves. Because here in L.A., everybody talks about, oh, diverse, we have all these people. It's segregated diversity.
Absolutely. Just because we are all trapped in the same city doesn't mean we co-mingle. We don't. Right? Like, I know I'm going to say yet another book. You guys, if you don't,
read.
If you don't read, you could audio book. But there's another book, and it's called Racial Inequality Without Bias or something. Dang, I'm going to find it. I'm going to look it up, because it talks about just our tendency as people, as human beings, just our psychology in picking people that look like us. And so the book talks about gender bias. When the economy falls, the first people you hire fire is black people. The first people you hire, and people who are in the hiring positions, are the ones that look like them. Let me get my people who look like me back on top first. And who comes last? People who don't. It's not racism anymore. It's just kind of like, hey, that's my buddy, let me put him on.
Yeah.
And so that's more of what we're up against when it comes to diversity and us not mingling, like not being in forced situations.
And I think people are saying it's getting worse. And is that because of social media? Because think about it. In order for it to get better, for us to be open to each other, we have to be comfortable in saying hi. Right?
Right.
So many people walk by me all the time of different ethnicities, and they can't.
Who do you
look.
Say hi to?
They, huh?
Who do you say hi
I
to?
I try to say, well, if I'm not in my own little mood, I try to make a point. So I'm an introvert, so I have to make a point to be, hey, how you doing? And I'm only doing that because I just feel like the world just like, no one is looking, interacting, touching each other, saying hi, smiling, or anything. We're just passing each other by as we're looking through these screens. And I think, and then whatever we see on the screens, everyone mentions this. This is what we believe, what we think is truth, instead of just putting it down or putting it in your pocket and kind of just engaging with everyone. And Will Smith, I want to get your thoughts on this, Dario, but Will Smith had a statement on diversity, too.
Oh, yeah, hurt, man.
I think that diversity is the American superpower. That's why we're great. So many different people from so many different places adding their ideas, their inspiration, and their influences to this beautiful American gumbo.
What are your thoughts on diversity in general, and maybe what Will said, Dario, about being a superpower?
I think he was just basically picking apart Jada's brain again, and I mean, I agree with that. I mean, basically everybody working together. Another thing that I don't know if you knew, CJ, that I directed my first film that I'm working on, and
I follow you on Facebook. I know what you're doing.
Yeah, I put it's I'm just directing. I directed it.
You're trying to get a little promo. It's all good.
It's based on the true story. It's real. I mean, everything that we went through. We had meetings. We had all that. We had everything. I mean, every person was diversified. We put it as needed basis, basically. If your role was to play somebody that was Caucasian, you play a Caucasian. If your role is to play somebody that's an African descent, you play that. So it wasn't really about like, well, we just trying to make diversity or we not trying to make diversity. It was all basically on the as me. And our camera operator, she was Caucasian. Our Slaters, she was African descent. So, like, we go of all like different, like I looked at like, it wasn't like a planned out thing. I mean, I believe in God. So everything I believe, that's why it's called, name of the film is called Time is God. Cause I believe everything happens in his time. So if you just be patient and find out that a lot of things that, we'll find out, it'll be all like put together in his time. But as far as the diversity, I definitely agree with, Will's statement. I think it's great. I mean, I don't work with, I mean, I think it's like brilliant. Like I have worked with a lot of individuals there were of different creed and different folks that I've never met in my life, from Armenian folks, especially me being from Indianapolis, where we don't have nothing like this at all. So it's, I mean, it's still new to me. It's still a lot of things I'm learning myself. I mean, I'm forever learning. I may not talk
so
about
would you,
it.
Everyone's prejudiced, but would you say, I'm trying to think, because you're coming from, I'm coming from my environment growing up is, I've been around a bunch of different people, right? So I can be prejudiced with people because I feel that I know this type of person or this type of race. Would you say that, I know you're prejudiced because everyone is, but would you say that?
No, everyone prejudges. No, that's real.
Yeah.
That's real.
Maybe not so much because it's all like new,
like a kid, right?
A kid, yeah. When they're a little baby, they're like, "Oh, who's this? They don't look like me."
Yeah.
They're not tripping off them, right? They're not. They want to approach the person because they're different. Us, we won't approach different people because we've had an experience.
I agree
with you 1,000,000,000%. Because
and that sounds like that. The reason why
the
I said that before you go on, you have had a lot of success and you haven't had the experiences that other people have because you're coming with that, like, just open arm, open heart. Hey, I want to be in this, and you're just inviting. Is that true?
It's because the God that I serve, I mean, he don't discriminate on color. So each individual, it's not about a color. Forget this Hollywood. Forget a TV. Forget a movie. Like, I agree with you. Like you were saying, like as a person, how they judge you by their looks. A lot of folks do that. I'm getting a funny look now from individuals. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I live with that scrutiny. I mean, from Trayvon to Mike Brown to all the things, like I said, all these folks are getting I know what that's like to walk around and get scrutinized all the time like that. And I can't, it's hard to even touch on that situation because I just want to live my life. But at the same time, it's happening, and you have to touch upon that because there's so many, like, just these eyes just be looking at you all the time. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how to respond to that other than that I know what you, I hear what you, I mean, I
you,
understand what you're saying.
You can just
like,
say
I just
yes
believe,
or no. Are you just open to people? Are you open to people?
I'm open to.
Are you close to people?
It depends. I hear what you say. I mean, that's a hard thing because
I'm just trying to figure it out for the people listening. Like, I don't know.
I couldn't really
some good fortune. Hello.
Oh man,
we'll get back to you, Danielle. What was that? Think on that. What was that book you were looking up? Did you get that?
Racial Inequality Without Racism. Her name was, the author's name is Nancy DeTomasi.
Uh-huh.
And that was the book. I didn't read the book, but I listened to the book.
Uh-huh. Cheater.
To the book. Listen, I ain't got time to read sometimes, but
you
I
know,
can listen.
Reading's good. It's intellectual, you know.
But I heard about her through, she was on Tavis Smiley's show a couple of years ago, and this goes back to a documentary that I'm working on called Birthright, and it kind of has everything to do with what Jada said, and it has everything to do with what Dario is talking about with Trayvon Martin and Mike Brown, and it has everything to do with what the basis and the underlying issue in this whole situation is, and that is, you know, where African-American people are in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And at the place that we're at is that we have to stop looking for approval. It's like a son looking for his father's approval at some point.
But what would fit? How can that change?
Well, that's in the next breath. I was just going to answer that. I think that the way that changes is that we start looking at one another and saying, CJ, you matter to me, you know,
but like I was said earlier, we don't have time anymore.
Right, but that's you asked me where it starts.
So who's going to
it starts
gonna
with that recognition.
To me, who's it's going to take it's not going to just be the individual. It might be individuals who do that, but like Who's going to do that for you?
Well,
who's
going to take you aside? It starts at home.
Is it mentoring?
Yes, it starts at home. It starts with mentoring. It starts with communicating in real life, not via text or, you know, in face-to-face. Because what I could say to you in text message might come across brash or harsh or whatever, and you don't know, you know, the spirit in which I'm saying that. So it comes with talking to each other, like really getting down to the stuff that you really don't want to talk about. It comes with listening and hearing people out that you don't agree with.
It's funny you said that, and I'll let you finish, because Whoopi talked about one of the hosts on her show mentioned, like, she was trying to feel like, where's this being all stirred up? And Whoopi's like, it's been stirred up.
Yeah.
And we don't talk about it, and we keep it inside.
We keep pushing it down and suppressing
it. So when one person of any significance makes a point, then we all just blow up. And it's not just, to me, it's not just black people. It's white people, too.
Yeah, because
whatever
everybody,
they have inside,
no one gets a chance to ever talk about it because it's so taboo that nobody wants to, you know, oh, I don't want to say the wrong thing. Say the wrong things. Let's have it out.
I'm all for that, too.
Like, let's talk about it. If you don't like what I said, then talk to me about it.
I'm a ratchet.
You're a ratchet?
I would much, that what I said was ratchet. I would much rather, and this is extreme, but I would rather know who's a KKK member than not. Let me know.
Let me know.
Man.
Because, like, we don't have to pretend. It's like, then it's like, okay, you know to stay away from me.
You know where I'm at, I know where you at.
And we know to stay away from each other.
There's the people stabbing you in the back like,
yeah.
I thought you was a homie.
I want to see
it. Even more,
it.
You don't want that in your business. You don't want that in your company. So, you know, I understand that. I can dig that.
So let's
yeah, that's Clint Eastwood. I mean, basically what you said, going off of what you were saying, CJ, it's a lot of individuals that bottle things up. And like I said earlier, man, I mean, I ain't put myself on the pedal, but like everybody wants to have this, they want to be a no nonsense type of person. And I think like Clint Eastwood made that remark of like, just quit complaining. Just go ahead and suffer. Like, go ahead and continue to keep shining master shoes and like on Viz comments and things like that. Or like, I'll lose my house if I don't work like this. I don't understand that. Like, you have no belief. You have no belief in God. You don't, you putting your faith in this man, and you're not putting your faith in, I mean, for me, I believe you put your faith in the Creator, and He's able to work way just miracles like you would never know in your life. Like I said, I came here with zero, and I did very well for my first project, and it is not a joke. I actually literally came like that, and I shot that national commercial, and it made me, put me into the union. SAG put me, like, into the union, but I didn't join. And I did not join because I didn't know what it was. I never heard of it before.
So,
and I'm from a place where I'm not about to just put my money into anything that I don't know what it is.
So
like, you don't have to talk to me. You don't have to come over here, holler at me. Let me know.
But
what
see,
this
that
is.
Goes right back to what I just said. Nobody, he don't even know what SAG is, or didn't know what SAG is, and that's what runs the business, right?
Yes.
How do you not get taught that?
See, who's going to teach you though? Like, who's going to teach the black kid? Who's going to teach the minority? So, like,
exactly, and that's what I was saying.
And they don't really
have
money to. They don't really have money to go to the schools and. Going back to what you said, like mentors or stuff like that, I'm all for that. I'm looking for a mentor. And that's no joke.
You should. Everybody should.
Because guess what? I didn't have the grandma, the mom, and then someone under, right? You need all those levels.
Yes.
So you, it's like when one person just over the top, you think, then you go talk to this person. You need that experience, and then you need that youthfulness where it's just the person who is free and is just going to try it because, you know, so.
Well, you know what?
Exposure. I'm so big on that.
I was very blessed to have a grandfather who worked in the television industry growing up. So I grew up on the set of Tonight Show, on the set of, you know, Punky Brewster. I mean,
at a young age,
right? And
is that typical in Hollywood anyway? Right, the ones who are successful, they're eight,
right?
In it,
I was there every time. You know, there was a holiday at school. I wanted to go to the studio with my granddad to work, and it was something that I got exposed to really early on. And so it was something that wasn't, you know, some far off place in some dry desert. It was it was real to me, and I thought that everybody had that.
Yeah.
So it wasn't something spoiled. That was. I wasn't spoiled.
You had Dario Buff spoiled. Look at y'all.
I wasn't, but you know, my mom was a photographer, and so, you know, the business just kind of was something that was, you know, in me. I didn't necessarily. I wanted to direct. I started writing, but I wanted to direct. That is much harder. I don't like talking to people that much. So to be able to communicate is very important to be a director. So, you know, I went a different path than them. But again, it's just a matter of the path that you choose. And like you said, coming from all these different levels, I got to see, okay, this is how he did it, and this is how she did it. And then, mm-hmm. you know, got to fold it in with my own experience. And now I'm looking at the people that are coming up underneath me. And all those things still teach me to this day.
Now, let's go back to the Oscars and the membership and everything. Do you think, Spike Lee spoke of a rule. Do you think they need a rule? Now, this is what he said.
We need a Rooney Rule. It's some type of rule.
It's a quota.
Yes. If the NFL, if a head coaching job opens up or a senior executive position, you cannot hire anyone to interview minority candidates. And that has increased the number of minority coaches and executives in the NFL, and that should be used.
So you got to widen the pool out.
Have to.
Now, when Spike Lee gets excited, and I have that problem too, his lips start happening, so you can't really hear what he's saying. But he's saying they need a Rooney Rule that, like the NFL implemented, where they kind of mandate owners to interview minorities for head coaching positions, just as a requirement. Do you guys believe it should be? Now I know there already been some statements saying that they're making changes and they're going to try to add 100 and something people to the membership, and they're going to still, the requirements are the same, but they're going to make it like if you didn't produce a film within 10 years, then you kind of get bumped out.
Can
and
I
stuff
say
like
something?
That. Go ahead.
Do
we need a rule?
I'm going to say no. Affirmative action is what that is, and I believe in affirmative action. I don't think a rule is going to help us. Let me say that.
Mm-hmm. It's like resentment amongst the other people, right?
Yes, but here's a question, right? Again, how many films were even made to be considered? How many people were in the films? If you're going to start making rules, let's start making rules at the studio level and say, hey, how many black people were on this production, or how many Latinos, or, you know, we can go through the diversity channels in the places that matter, because where the diversity isn't happening is at all. Like,
yeah.
The Oscars is just a reflection
yeah.
of Hollywood itself. There are no, like, let's go. Let's name them. We got what? Beast of No Nations, Straight Outta Compton. Go ahead. Keep naming the
go
rest
ahead,
of the black
Dario.
Films, because there ain't no more.
You was asking me?
I'm just saying.
I can keep going.
Go ahead, honey.
I can. Straight Outta Compton, Concussion.
That's not black.
I don't think that Creed was an Oscar award winning film.
Agreed.
To me, but Creed, already said Concussion. Beast of No Nation.
You ran out of fingers and you ran out of movies, right? The point is, even if you had two hands, if you were lucky to fill up all 10 fingers in 1 year, you're lucky. That doesn't happen. And I'm talking about on the studio level. Now, of course, Tyler Perry is churning them out weekly. We got Chirac that nobody cares about because that was inappropriate, my opinion.
I just want to say this. I was writing an article. I'm trying to get into blogging again. And I was writing the article, and it was just so negative. I was like, I'm not going to publish this. But Chirac, I mean, I'm not trying to bag on, but it wasn't That was so disrespectful. It wasn't Spike Lee's best work.
I mean, I get it, and it was entertaining to some. I thought it was so misguided, but I'm not gonna get on Spike Lee because I loved early Spike Lee. I don't know who this guy is.
He said early.
Yeah, I don't know who this guy is.
Well, speaking of that, Spike Lee mentioned some of his earlier work. I'm gonna try to find that because it got like a ooh in the studio when he was doing this interview. But he talked about when he got snubbed.
What won Best Film 1989?
Do the Right Thing.
I don't know, actually.
Driving Miss Effin' Daisy.
That was that year.
And what film did you have in 1989?
Do the Right Thing. That film's being taught in colleges, schools, no one's watching this Driving Miss Daisy now. So it also shows you that the work is what's important because that's the stuff that's going to stand for years, not an award.
Now, what I got from that question is, okay, say you have an all-black production, you guys are producing a black film. Why do we feel the need to have to follow that stereotype of and create a certain type of movie? Why can't we just, because, come on, I think of all different types of movies all the time, and I'm like, why are we creating these, you know, Hoochie Mama movies or whatever?
I think that's not true. I think that's what you see. That's not what's being created. Because you got more creative content on YouTube than you have that's reflected, that's being distributed on the...
Yeah, but the ones that's being pushed...
Right, and that's what I'm saying.
Why are those being pushed?
There's an agenda.
It is. I agree. Like, it's just all these type of why'd I get married or Hoochie Mama. Like, it's the forever type genre of Africana type films, and that's why I agree with Will and Jada because they went off and made the After Earth. They went off and did different things that individuals say we can't do, and we're not able to accomplish and things like that. Why do they make those movies like that, like, all the time? I mean, the stereotype has to be out like that we have to be like that. And yeah, so if you got different ideas, that's why I think, like I said, Jada, what she said is all about, let's open the door, let's actually make that happen instead of continuing to critique the next person. And once you find out, let's just go ahead and the endless.
I think you can critique the next person. It's nothing wrong with for me, it's easier if I won't say I want somebody to tell me what's wrong, but it's better than just saying, oh, that's great. Then that means there's no room for improvement.
Yeah.
Can you let me know how I can improve? So I think what people are trying to say to her.
So many folks get too gung-ho on critiquing a person and instead of finding out new things. If we're in an arena where we're not shut down and we all can be able to work together, there's no reason to really shut each other down. There's a reason to grow into each different thing.
I agree with that to a point, but I agree with it to a point to where I don't think, you know, I'm like, you know, when the mama, you know, when you out with your mom and she like, don't tell family business in front of everybody else. Like, I'm with that. But to the point where, no, if you're not right, if what you're representing is not what you've been representing for the long haul, then it's time for somebody to say, hey, you know what, Jada? Now you can look back and say, hey, maybe what could I have done better with my power, with my influence? You know, it's okay to say that.
That's experience. But that just comes with experience. That's your learning curve. That's how you learn. That's us as human beings.
I know, but you said we shouldn't criticize.
We all learn. We all learn from different things that we could have done here or we could have done there. But what we do is we take those and we learn and we grow and become better films and make different films. Did you think like all these Hollywood films that's been made, I'm gonna say the way Hollywood was made and the folks that throw Oscars when they first made their first film, that their first film was just explosive and everything like that? No, it started from a way where, I mean, they had to do their grinding in their little to make up their little Hollywood, and everybody has to start somewhere, and that's why I feel like we all pull our resources like together, and we all just, I mean, resources don't have to be all the time money. Sometimes resources can be in the idea. Sometimes resources can be in there just sitting there, being a part of it. Sometimes we look at it to be like Hollywood, and that's why I kept saying Keisha Wood, Crenshaw Wood. A different. It don't have to be called that. It's because we got a history, and it's important to speak about our history because that will make that's what makes our actual film industry. That's why I said, like, yo, we need our own. It still go back to Martin Luther King. I mean, it still go back to all of that when the Memphis rights of unions, starting our own unions, and you're gonna get into like. It's going to raise some tension for some individuals, and it's going to raise some non-tensions. It's going to bring some individuals together, and that's why that's what I'm saying. Like I don't know. I'm glad I don't know. I'm glad I do not know, because I see a lot of folks get taken advantage of like that, and I see a lot of folks try to take advantage of me when I say I don't know, and I never call them out.
I just want to make a statement because I spoke on separated diversity. I am not for our own. Our own, to me, should be what we have now. We should just be a part of it. We should be. I don't like, you know, the black section, the black this, the black. I hate that. Like, or the Mexican this, the Mexican.
So you with Stacey Dash?
No.
Get rid of the Stone Trader Board. Get rid of the beat. I'm like, girl, sit down. Sit your butt down somewhere.
Before I continue, let's play that, and then I'll elaborate on what I was talking about.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow. I think it's ludicrous.
Why?
Because we have to make up our minds. Either we want to have segregation or integration. And if we don't want segregation, then we need to get rid of channels like BET and the BET Awards and the Image Awards, where you're only awarded if you're black. If it were the other way around, we would be up in arms. It's a double standard.
No, it is the other way. Stacey, shut up.
No. Yeah, now...
Wait, though.
Because... what they spoke about on another show, they were commenting on The View. They were talking about she's been on all these black magazines, been a recurring role on the game, BET. Like, all these black organizations had funded her career. That's the only reason she is a D. So for her to be
the only
like,
reason we know your name. Girl,
she's chasing money right now. But what I'm talking about is it's like a dream, the Martin Luther King dream, where you don't want all this. It's obviously needed. And it's good to have it to protect when people alienate you. But I don't want it to be like that.
You're saying, oh, I want a world where people don't see color. You want that?
So that's my...
That's ridiculous. That's what makes us who we are.
No. I didn't say that. Okay, I said, I'm going... See, now this is me tapping into the kid. Remember? No. The kid. We just want to interact with... someone, yeah, the child, okay. And just be a part, and not. I'm not talking about accept me. To tell you the truth. I don't need any acceptance from anyone at all.
Me neither.
And it's not.
Exactly.
It's not even.
Exactly.
And it's people. And
that's all that matters.
And I don't know if that comes from sports or whatever, but this guy who he happens to be white, but. I mean, he grew up in a home where his family wasn't privy and wasn't open to minorities, diverse group of people, right? So it's not his fault or anything. And he's cool but he still has that in him because he goes back home to it and all that stuff. But he told me all the time, he's like, I don't know how black people have all this confidence from just... where does it come from? Because in his eyes, we have no reason because of all the oppression, all this, and just all the just roadblocks that we have. Like, how do you have all that?
Because we kings and queens. That's why.
And that's how I consider myself. Like, not king and queen, chief. I'll be a chief.
Oh, you're an Indian chief.
Yeah, I'm a tribe. I think that king and queen. That's a whole nother subject. But that came from Britain, English. Like we. Chiefs, we're more like the Indians.
No, I don't.
You a Queen Elizabeth?
No, I mean I'm. we don't want to go down.
Okay,
that
we won't go that way. But I'm just saying, I just I don't need you to feel pity for me. I'm not going to feel pity for you. I'm not trying to be superior from you. Don't be intimidated by my confidence, right?
Right.
It's not about you, right?
Yes. And, you know, living here in Pasadena, growing up here in Pasadena, you're always in the minority, just walking around this city alone. And so you have to be able to walk around with your head up and walk as if you belong there, because this is your home. For me, that's how it's always been. And I've gotten that question before. Like, you know, you don't feel strange that you're the only... I'm like, no, number one, because it's always been that way. Yeah. I don't know anything else. I would feel strange if it was a whole bunch of black people. I'd be distracted. Like, oh, look, there's another one over there.
I ain't gonna lie. When I was in college playing football, Dario, we played Atlanta, Georgia. Everybody in the airport was black. I didn't know what to do. I'm telling you, it's the reverse.
I felt in Chicago.
I'm gonna say this, man. I felt white. Now think about it. Because I grew up in all this diverse. I went to Montessori school. I was learning Spanish and French. Everybody was this and that.
And then trip
on this. I lived in an apartment complex in the good neighborhood. So everybody around the apartment complex had the mini mansions, the mansions, the Asian, all this, and white, and boom, boom, boom. Yeah. So when I go play with them, it's like I had a house, I had all these luxuries, but then I went home to my little apartment. But it's like when I went to ATL, boy, I was like,
you was distracted.
I wasn't scared or nothing, but it wasn't natural to me.
Do you know that's why I didn't go to a black college? I would have been, I never would have finished college, okay? I would have been a freak, Nick. Like,
but you know what? Like, honestly, like, I'm from Indianapolis. It's like, I grew up in me and Mike Epps went to the same high school, basically. We went to Tech, I went to Arsenal Tech High School. They called us the lower grade school. Basically, from Klan State. Like, if you went to the minority, we was basically the Joe Clark school. You know, Joe Clark with the bat. We had like searches and everything like that. But then it was like, we was the actual school that called the worst school ever. And here this whole thing out real quick, because they called us the baddest school, said ain't nothing gonna come good from them. Like, they forever, like, everything, it's just, I want to get it all out, like, how everybody assumes so much, finger pointed on us so much. Yet, I want to go back to what you were saying, CJ, is that who cares what they're saying? Who cares what anybody's saying? Because, like, I'm telling you, we had so much fun. Like, I grew up at a school. It wasn't fights all day. It wasn't fights at our school, like the TV would say about our school, and the way Indiana Ku Klux Klan land individuals that ran the whole state from the city county building that talked about our high school and said so much stuff. We had youth that was just like most of the youth there was trying to find out how we gonna go to college. That's how we was thinking. We didn't have the book. Our teachers were fighting with the IPS board, with the inner city school boards, so we could have more money in the school, so we could be able to teach us, so they could be able to teach us up to standards for the ACTs and SATs. I was an honor roll student, yet we didn't have we had excellent teachers. I mean, I wouldn't trade it for anything. If I did it over again, I had the same teachers, same predicament, same everything. Just listen to these folks. That's all. And see what's actually experienced, what's actually going on in these places that it was talked so bad about. And we enjoyed it. And some money actually went into the school, and we won the state championship. First time ever in the history of Indiana, the lowest, basically, what everybody call black. I don't like to use the word black, because
I'm the opposite.
Me too.
I like black.
Me too. I'd rather be black.
No, I like it.
No, you can't claim it now. You already said no. I like black because the reason why I'm saying that, it goes back to like the Atlanta, Georgia. So how I felt going to Atlanta, guess how I'm gonna feel going to Africa?
And I think that's black Hollywood.
I know, but I'm talking about, like, I don't know what I'm talking about, but you brought up black, but I'm talking about, like, just that feeling
of not connected to Africa.
So, like,
exactly.
I don't side with Stacey Dazz, but I mean, I do feel I am American, because that's all I know.
And by the way, Raven Simone, Africa is a continent. it's not a country, idiot. So yeah.
She was nervous. She's nervous. She on TV. And no. Okay.
No.
All right. Well, before we close it up, I wanted to just get your thoughts on Mr. Chris Rock. So do you think he should, well, obviously he said he's going to host the Oscars, but do you think he should? That's for both of you.
Absolutely. Why shouldn't he? I mean,
I don't think he should.
What difference does it make whether he hosts it or not? So,
yeah, I think he should.
I think he is in the perfect place to host it because he's in the perfect place to make a statement and have what is wrong with the whole situation reflected back to the audience that's watching.
Now, why don't you think he shouldn't, Daryl?
Because everybody tries to fix something, and it's like, I mean, it's a lot of things I could say from this situation, from this whole little situation right there. But I don't think, like, Chris Rock should really set himself up for failure like that. I mean, man, you're more than that, especially where you come from. Like, Chris Rock, you come from
Chris Rock is the perfect person. Now, Chris Rock is the reason that people can look at. He's the one that started this whole controversial racial conversation.
In the Oscars. And the thing is, he is the perfect person to do it because that's all he talks about, political stuff. Like, right? That's his thing.
Exactly.
But it's almost too late for him. Like, he already said he's going to do it. You think he should be there and then just walk off the stage? Or, like, you think he should have just said he's not going to do it? Because either way.
No, that'd be tight if he did.
It would be like gangster and all that stuff. But guess what? That would kill his career. It's not professional,
right?
I don't think so
because there's so many individuals who got tossed up that's like straight out of Compton. The film that everybody would have thought it would have, got an Oscar, and especially Beast out of No Nation. I mean, I understand we're not naming a whole of them off our fingers yet. We're only speaking of it now. Eddie Murphy's talked about this.
Daryl, though, you understand when it comes to putting on comedic shows and all this stuff, Chris Rock is international.
Right. Yeah. So I have a question. So if Chris Rock shouldn't do it, does that mean Reggie Hudlin shouldn't produce the Oscars? Because that's who's producing it. The writer of Django. That's the one I was trying to think about before, who won the Oscar a couple years ago. He's producing, so should he walk off too?
I think
we're digging into people's pockets now.
I think I'm glad Chris Rock is still doing it. He's under a lot of pressure, and everybody's. It's going like to be hard for them to laugh. Hold on one second, but I think it should be up to each individual.
Right.
It shouldn't be
George
just because
everybody said already, right? Like I'm not. I've never
even
listened.
George Clooney not with it. As George Clooney even not with it. He's not with it.
But that's fine because he's an individual. But as far as like saying all black people, it's like okay, so now they're not gonna get paid. Now it's gonna be harder because they're gonna be the ones that didn't do this right. They didn't do the thing. They just cut out, and that's not. To me, it's not helping the situation.
I don't agree. I agree, and I'm gonna tell you, I have never seen the Oscars. I've never seen it.
I watch it all the time.
I've seen pieces of the Oscars. I will watch the red carpet because, you know.
Yeah, you got to watch the red carpet.
I like the fashion, but who cares? It's boring. I hate award shows. Oh, my gosh.
You know what they should have on a red carpet this year? The black cam. And it just stays on the black person.
Like they did at the Globes. What was that awards that Denzel Washington was just so super unprepared. It was hilarious.
Oh, when he won that special award in
the
Globe,
Lifetime
Achievement Award.
And he didn't know what was going on. That was funny.
He needed his glasses or something like that. Yeah, I watch the award shows. I mean, they're boring. What I do is I multitask, so I do my work and just kind of have it on. But because I feel like
that's not watching it.
I know, but come on, because I feel like I have to. We deal with media, so I have to be. I have to know something.
Are you kidding me? My notifications from Variety and the Hollywood Reporter, I know everything that happened on the awards at the second it happens. I don't need to watch it. It's boring anyway.
So, Daryl, you would prefer that There's all who want to, and I'm not just blacks, but all who want to kind of hop onto the boycott should do this and not go to the Oscars.
I don't, that boycott word, I don't know where that came from. But
okay,
like,
not going.
No. Yeah, but no, honestly, no, I don't think, like, my first reaction was like, hey, let Chris Rock just do his thing, let him go ahead and make this happen. And I just said my first reaction was kind of like, he's in a hard place, actually. That's what my first reaction was. And now, honestly, I'm kind of like, it's really shaky because, like, I think I really believe what Jada's saying, and I really would rocking with Jada. Far as like creating our own, not disowning everybody, just creating our own, like our own culture, like from our own everything. And I'm with that. Yet, far as Chris Rock going out and doing these Oscars at a time like this, especially when Eddie Murphy already then said this in the Oscars already. I mean, before. So yeah, I mean, matter of fact, I'm kind of, it's a toss up. It really is a toss up.
No, I think there will be a natural boycott, so to speak. People just are not interested in watching things that don't include them, and people just ain't going. They over it.
But you know what, though, to me, it's like, it's kind of like that Steve Harvey thing. What went wrong really went right. Right, because all the publicity, all numbers right. went up.
I think
the ratings are going to be off the chart. There might not be no black people there, but
so?
I guarantee black people going to watch it.
I ain't watching
it. At least for the monologue, you're not going to watch. When I say watch it, that's not, I'm watching it live. I mean, like, okay, it's on a YouTube clip. You ain't going to click on, what did Chris say? Everybody gonna watch something,
unless
some part of it.
Unless something super exciting happens,
because it's gonna be on social media.
On YouTube
later,
I
can't believe what he said.
But other than that, when I say I turn off the Oscars as soon as the show come on.
Yeah.
I don't want
to
see it.
She turned it on the channel. Wait for it to come on.
I want to see the red carpet.
And then turn it off. So you just like the fashion, all the interviews and stuff.
Like, whose dress is the cutest? Okay.
So here's what Marlon Wayans had to say.
Oh shit!
First of all, it's called the Oscars.
Do you think
it's named after a white guy? It's not like it's the Jamals, you know.
Do you think Chris Rock should still be hosting?
I think apparently if he does host, he should come out in whiteface so he belongs there.
So yeah.
Yo, he's a perfect example of, and him and his family, of people who have really given back to other people coming up.
Yeah.
They've really played it forward in what they're doing now and what they've done with A Living Color, what they did with Hollywood Shuffle. You know, they brought their family up, but they brought everybody else as well. And, you know, they are not reflected enough in this. You know, do I agree with a whole lot of the crazy stuff they do? No, probably not. But they're the perfect example. Marlon, the Wayans, that whole generation was awesome.
And he said his influence, Keenan, he said his brother's influence is key, because he told him, I don't have the exact words, and I had that clip, I don't know, maybe this is it, let's play it, we'll see.
It's not the first time this has happened.
Right.
It's over, every year is pretty much a whiteout. One year, you know, I think we're going to keep on doing what we're doing. We're going to make more movies. You know, this invigorates black people. As a filmmaker, it makes me want to develop and produce more movies per year, and you know, start working with different kind of filmmakers, because then it's undeniable.
So that's not the right clip, but he basically, it's on the same lines. He was saying, Keenan, it's like you just push forward, you keep doing your best work, and you don't wait for acceptance. You just go and get it.
Right. If we waited to be accepted every time, I mean, we would never do anything. Kidding me?
All right. So any final thoughts on anything, Dario, before we go? Let us know what you're doing, all that stuff.
Right now I'm working on an album actually called Lee Jordan. That's what I've been actually doing. Working and be on the lookout for Black and Blue. Black and Blue is another documentary, his second documentary from Dylan Avery, which is Caucasian. Yet he speaks on the truth. He's a truth documentary person. He actually was the one that did the Loose Change 9/11 film about the bombs and the towers and everything like that. The whole controversy situation has been all on the internet, the hugest internet film ever. And he did a documentary and he interviewed me, and it'll be out sometime this year. It's about police brutality in the community, about me going down to Ferguson, about Mike Brown situation, about just everything. And it's coming, so it's on the way. It's a lot of Rampart Police from LAPD on there. It's just a whole list of another whole situation. So that's coming out, and it's called Black and Blue. The directors, Dylan Avery and Corey Rowe from Loose Change. So check that out too.
Okay, so let the people know how they can connect with you if they're interested in maybe having a producer or, you know, or anything like that.
Yeah, definitely. You can reach me on Facebook right now from facebook.com/Lee, LeeDario. Or you can catch me on Twitter, YDarioALee, or Instagram. That's my last name, LEE. First name Dario. Anytime, and then go to YouTube youtube.com/LeeDario, and then check everything out.
And Danielle, what you got? Your final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, my final thoughts is follow the money. And you can find me, check me out. I'm working on a documentary that has been very close to me. It's actually came from a feature film, and it deals with a lot of the topics that we were talking about today. It's called Birthright, and the Birthright Project is the documentary element of it, and it is exactly what we were talking about, giving our young men a gift of saying, hey, you're worthy enough. But you can check us out, Southern Peach Entertainment. We're at southernpeach.squarespace.com, or you can find us on Twitter at A Peachy Dream, or at on Instagram at Southern Peach US. So I'm all over the place. I'm on Danielle L. Ross. You can find me all over the place, and hit me up. I welcome everybody. I welcome people with open arms, whatever I can give back.
Okay, and you can follow me, as you should know already, but anyway, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and what else is there? SoundCloud, all that stuff, at CJ Parallel.
You got any pictures?
I was one of those lucky, nope. I got pictures, they're just not of me. And I took those ones down that you saw that were in the studio that you're in right now. You recognize it, yeah. But yeah, so at CJ Parallel, look forward to hearing from you guys. All right. So have a good time. Thank you, Dario. Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, Dario.
Yeah. Likewise. Thank you for having me.
All right. And this has been Online with CJ Parallel on the Lancer Radio Network. Radio Network.